Okay, I started in Deadwood in 1984. I won a Wild Bill lookalike contest and rode in the 1876 parade, and also as Wild Bill, and also in Colorado Charlie Utter days.
The only man who has depicted Wild Bill Hickok from the 1980s to the present is with us today on the Dead Man's Hand podcast, the one and only Jerry Allen, my dad. On this episode, I interview my dad about his fascination with Wild Bill as a young boy, and we explore his thoughts about his favorite and most accurate depictions of Wild Bill on TV and cinema throughout the years. We also discuss his journey with this project that includes a movie, a book, and an album, including the challenges and triumphs he's experienced. And finally, we tell you where you can catch him live this summer.
Okay, here we are in Dead Man's Hand podcast, where we are discussing and analyzing Wild Bill Hickok, and we're going to be talking with Jerry Allen, my dad, who has directed, written, produced, and is currently editing the movie, the docudrama, with my brother. And how you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Doing great.
Good.
Today we want to talk a little bit about your fascination with Wild Bill.
Okay.
From an early age, and if you can kind of tell us, what originally got you interested in him.
Okay, when I was young, I lost my father when I was 3 years old, and he's a great dad, and my mother was a school teacher, but I loved a show called The Great Adventure, which was a took an epic of history every week. One was Andrew Jackson, one was a Civil War, and then I saw one about Wild Bill Hickok. And Lloyd Bridges, who was Jeff Bridges' father, was an actor. He played on a series called Sea Hunt, but he played Wild Bill Hickok. And when I saw that episode, I was so fascinated by Wild Bill. I saw him in Abilene when he accidentally shot his best friend and deputy Mike Williams and shot Phil Cole. And it brought it up to Deadwood, where I saw him got shot in the back of the head. But Lloyd was dressed for that time really neat. He looked like Wild Bill. He had long hair. He had a mustache and a wide brim hat. And I was fascinated by Wild Bill ever since, through my school years. Then as the years went by, they had other shows. Gary Cooper played Wild Bill. It's called The Plainsman. That was very good. He looked like Wild Bill, except for the real long hair and the mustache. Other than that, he was a good character. Charles Bronson played Wild Bill, too. It was kind of a goofy story. It wasn't really about his life, but I like Charles Bronson. He did a good job, I thought. It wasn't very accurate. A lot of shows weren't very accurate about Wild Bill. Jeff Bridges, to me, was one of the best-looking Wild Bills. Walter Hill was a good writer and director, and very authentic. The story was pretty good for the most part. I didn't care for the Deadwood ending. It was kind of a freelance thing, you know, that really wasn't accurate, but I really enjoyed the movie. Of course, Deadwood had Keith Carradine play Wild Bill. He did a good Wild Bill.
You mean on the HBO series?
The HBO series, yeah. But there again, it wasn't really accurate, I don't think, because he and Seth Bullock got together, and I don't think they ever met in real life. Seth Bullock was a first sheriff in Deadwood. He may have been in town in a business operation, but I don't think they really, really met.
No, I think it was, he was in business there. And once Hickok got killed, that was kind of like the last straw, I think, for him.
Right.
He started to get involved. Like, there was just a void of law and order, and nobody strong enough or courageous enough to do anything about it. So
right.
I think he entered the scene afterwards.
Yeah. So there were, and Buffalo Girls, Sam Elliott played Wild Bill, but there again, it wasn't very correct. I don't believe Wild Bill ever had a relationship with Calamity Jane. She was fascinated by him, but he really didn't want nothing to do with her other than being a friend. And they have met, may have only met the first time on the journey to Wild Bill from Fort Laramie when Wild Bill came to Deadwood on that wagon train with Colorado Charlie Etter. That might have been the first time they ever met. So, but Hollywood has taken that as a romantic thing, you know. And
which depiction of Hickok as a character do you think was the most accurate in Hollywood? Just his character.
I think Jeff Bridges, at least through the beginning parts of the movie until he got to Deadwood, was I thought was pretty accurate.
Which, yeah, because as soon as they get to Deadwood, they really delve into the conspiracy.
Then
it turns Jack McCall into this, like he was this, that this was this really planned out thing. Whereas in reality, it seemed like there was most likely a conspiracy of the saloon owners who didn't like Hickok around town, thought he would ruin their business if he became a sheriff. And he probably was paid off. I mean, there's definitely historical accounts that show that he was paid off. And he said that in the trial, right?
Right. And he said a fellow by the name of John Barnes, which was a gambler in Deadwood, paid him money, but they could never find John Barnes. Or I heard another name like Charlie Storms. There might've been a few people that were involved. That's what, according to McCall at the trial. But no, they couldn't produce any witnesses. So that story didn't hold with the jury. They found him guilty, you know, and which he was guilty.
Which of the movies do you think is the most historically accurate in terms of the events depicted? Because it seems like most of the movies that have been done on Wild Bill take such creative licenses that it's not even close. And which is surprising to me, because if you look at everything that happened in his life, it's better than fiction. It's fascinating.
Everything that he did. I think his time in Deadwood was very, if people were to take the time of him in Deadwood, oh, that was very interesting without having to be crazy about inventing things. I mean, just some of the things that he was going through. He had a premonition he was going to die in Deadwood. He told that to his friends. I think Wild Bill, the movie in the beginning, was very accurate. That's the only movie I can think of that was really accurate, except for the Deadwood period. Number one, there was no, they had the wrong people at the table when he was playing cards when he got shot. California Joe was, there was Carl Mann, Charlie Rich, and Captain Massey, Riverboat Captain. And I don't believe Calamity Jane was in the saloon when he got shot. And Jack McCall, you know, the whole thing of Jack McCall was just, other than that, I think the beginning of the movie was pretty good. I think it was pretty accurate.
Yeah.
They have Abilene, Kansas, the Dave Tutt scene throughout the movie, it has a flashback. So they did the Dave Tutt scene in a flashback while Bill was in Deadwood. That was really good. That's the only movie I can think of that's portrayed Wild Bill most accurately, except for the craziness of Jack McCall at the end, when he got shot and all that.
Whereas with your script that you wrote in the 90s, Prince of Pistoliers, that one,
I was trying to hit the historical mark on that one. You know,
the most that you did in terms of fictionalization is maybe dialogue, but every single thing that you portrayed in your script actually happened.
Right. And I tried to put some actual sayings that Wild Bill said and events that actually happened. but you don't know every detail of what was said, you know, for a script. So you have a license to put some additional things to it, but it was following his life and history. So it was pretty accurate.
So it was your attempt to set the record straight about Wild Bill.
Right.
And film. And so that didn't quite come to fruition. So describe your goal for Dead Man's Hand, the docudrama.
Well, the docudrama, I try to really follow his life. Not every detail, because if you want to go in deep detail, you have, there are sources and books that you can really read that people have actually, like Rosa, did some great books on Wild Bill. He's very thorough in his investigations. But in the documentary, you only have so much time to hit someone, the main events in his life along a time period, you know, timeline. And that's why I wanted to do, to tell the actual history on a timeline of really what happened to Wild Bill.
And then, and this is also your opportunity to play him, depict him as well.
Right.
And you've, played, you want to tell us a little bit about your backstory of depicting Wild Bill?
Okay. I started in Deadwood in 1984. I won a Wild Bill lookalike contest and rode in the 1876 parade, and also as Wild Bill, and also in Colorado Charlie Utter Days. That now it's called Wild Bill Days, but in 84 it was called Colorado Charlie Utter Days. And I wrote some songs about the West, about Wild Bill, the Ballad of Wild Bill, about Custer and the West. And I portrayed Wild Bill doing a one-man show, singing about the West, dressed as Wild Bill. And every once in a while, I would sit in the card game. They have a trial of Jack McCall, which I wasn't a part of, but I was in Saloon Number 10, and I did portray Wild Bill getting shot. Also, a video company, Tourist, I believe was Finley Holiday Films, portrayed me as Wild Bill getting shot at the card table, and that was sold around the world, you know. Then I went to Custer and got a bigger troop, and we reenacted Wild Bill's, a few of his gunfights and him getting shot. And we even did the hanging of Jack McCall at an amphitheater in Custer. And then from there, I went to Keystone at the Red Garter Saloon, and I played Wild Bill meeting Phil Cole and shooting Phil Cole as a history lesson. But we made a kind of a comedy out of it, so the kids would enjoy it as well as the adults, but actually show and tell the history of what happened before Wild Bill came to the Black Hills. And we've been doing that for, well, up to 40 years now. I mean, as far as me being in the Black Hills and doing it, 35 at least.
And so tell us a little bit about, how many years ago you actually filmed the principal photography for Dead Man's Hand?
For the
drama part.
Around 2017.
Okay, and you tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, I wanted to kind of put a movie together. Actually, it started out with a one man production. I mean, we didn't have any money. A few people gave us a couple hundred bucks. And I've put my own money as far as a lot of volunteers. I casted the people. Some were actors that actually did some other acting, in whether it be film or drama. But most of the people never acted before, but they looked like good characters, and I just kind of coached them a little bit. Some were better actors than others, and some acted for free. Now, there's a few people I paid because they were professionals, but most of it was voluntarily done. And I thank all these people. They were anxious to get on board, and I pretty much not only casted, but was in charge of wardrobe, and along with Jim Hassell, he provided a lot of wardrobe for certain scenes because he's done a lot of movies and provided wardrobe for other movies. And I wanted to make it as a movie, but I only had like one day. I was working, doing the shows 6 days a week, so I had one day to shoot. So it took a lot of time to get people on board at the same time and be at certain locations and get the props and the towns ready. And I put about $10,000 of my own money through the years on it. Of course, we've been shooting it for years, little by little. And so I thought I wanted to piece it together. And I thought, well, we can make a docudrama out of it with action scenes along with the history with historical pictures and narration along with drama. So I decided to do that instead because it was a one-man, basically a one-man show operation. But I've had a lot of help with other people, volunteers, and I have you, and I had my son Derek editing the project. And I put some original music in there, and it's kind of my passion, my telling the story of Wild Bill, you know, and yeah, other characters that were involved in his life, because you never hear about these people unless you really do research, you know, and you have a limited time to tell it. So you kind of scratch the surface, but enough information where people have a pretty good idea about his life, you know, without taking hours and hours, you know?
Yeah. Well, and you got, how many hours of footage did you originally?
Oh man, we must shot about 40 hours of footage. And out of that 40 hours, you got to edit down to the very best scenes, the best angles, the best. And I have some footage I probably will never use. But like I say, you never know. So I'm glad I have the footage. It just, you know, when you're doing a one-man thing, you want to make sure you get the right scenes done right, and you take extra footage in case you might use it, you know? So it was like 40 hours combined into a two-hour docudrama, you know?
Yeah, and the first, so you've got enough footage to probably cut a couple of films from it. So the first one, right, that will be coming out
first one in
May,
yeah,
or June, it's Wild Bill. It's Dead Man's Hand, Wild Bill's Trail to Deadwood.
Right.
And that one focuses on what?
That one focuses on his life right after Abilene, Kansas, after he shot his best friend and deputy Mike Williams, and shot a saloon owner that was kind of a nasty character. His name was Phil Cole. He was a Texan. He was in business with Ben Thompson, another noted gunfighter. And Wild Bill had a confrontation with Phil Cole, and his deputy came out, and Hickok thought somebody was going to back shoot him, so he turned around and shot, and it was his deputy. And I take it from right after Abilene, Kansas, he turned in his badge as a city marshal, and he left. It went out east. So it takes, after that incident, the story goes on what happened to Hickok after that on his way to Deadwood and his demise in Deadwood.
It's being edited right now.
Right.
And the film is also going to feature some of your music, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, I'm going to put some little tidbits of my music in there too, yeah, that I wrote.
And we will keep everybody informed on the debut of the film and where you can get it. And we will, you know, offer it in as many forms and formats and ways that is possible. If people want to see you in person this summer and they want to get a flavor of your depiction of Wild Bill, your music, to get your autograph, to buy the movie, to buy the books, the albums associated with Dead Man's Hand Project, you want to tell us a little bit about where to find you this summer?
Yes, I'll be at the Red Garter Saloon It's a famous saloon in Keystone, South Dakota. Now, Keystone is at the gateway to Mount Rushmore. It's about 3 miles from Mount Rushmore, and it's a busy town. And we have two shows a day during the afternoon, then I play music at night. So we'll have the book and the docudrama available there, and I can sign it for them. And we're going to try to get the book and the docudrama in stores all over South Dakota. We like to do that, but if you really want to come out and get a personal autograph on the book and the docudrama and the album, music album, I'll be at Red Garter Saloon. I'll be there about the middle of May through maybe the first week of October. I'll be there 6 days a week. I get Sunday off, Sabbath day, you know, and one day to rest, but I'll be busy with Big Dave. He's 7'2". He's been working with me for many years. He's also a great entertainer. He plays Phil Cole. We do a reenactment of Wild Bill shooting Phil Cole. And so it's a fun, and I'm excited about the project. It's coming along really well, you know, and I'm not saying it because I've been one of the creators of this. It's only because it's really exciting. And to tell the story of Wild Bill, the real story, and the characters involved in his life and what happened to these people besides Wild Bill. And we can see historical pictures and drama with the movie scenes and the narration. And I'm excited about it. It's looking really good. And I'm not bragging about it. I'm just saying I think everybody would be very pleased.
Yeah. And for me, what's exciting about it is that it's part of your story. It's part of your, as we've discussed in here, you know, your story of going back to your childhood and, you know, like you discussed, you know, your dad dying and at such a young age, and your, you know, your male heroes kind of just were on TV during the classic age of television and film. Right. And amongst the other shows and characters that you watched, it was Wild Bill was one of the characters.
Oh yeah,
historical characters that stood out.
Yes, and the whole Western feel of from Mount Men to the Native Americans. I was adopted in the Sioux tribe a few years back by Buddy Redbow, a good friend of mine who's passed away. He was a great guy, and.
You were adopted also with in the same ceremony you were adopted with John Fusco.
I was at John Fusco, where his wife got adopted, and a friend of mine, Greg Adams. And then I was there when Lou Diamond Phillips had his Indian name, but I got adopted with a few other people, but you were there and all my family was there, and that was exciting. And like I say, I wrote a song called talking about all the Western heroes, cowboys. It's called John Wayne is Still the King. It's a music video, and it has Clint Eastwood and Charles Bronson and Gary Cooper, Alan Ladd playing Shane. That's one of my favorite movies. It's all fun, you know.
Yeah, and you can see that. Anybody who wants to see that music video, go to Jerry Allen on YouTube, and you will find John Wayne is Still the King, song and the video. Awesome right. Song, favorite of tourists every year.
Yes, and I wrote a song about South Dakota. It's a music video, but it's not online yet, but we can get it online. And people enjoy that song too.
Yeah, no, like I said, this is just part of your story. You're part of your life story and your dreams, and you've gone through a lot of struggles and challenges, you know. Yeah. Even with even going back to the original attempt to write a script about Wild Bill, and that, you know, running into obstacles, and right. You just coming back and filming this in 2017, pouring your own money into it and volunteers and working basically that you worked 7 days a week. You never had a day off because this is such a passion project for you. Right. And and then, you know, your recent medical challenges, you've pushed right through. So this is super exciting to see this come out, and that really part of your story of resilience.
And we're still filming other projects this summer too. So that's exciting. That's a continuation.
Absolutely. Yeah. There will be, like we've said, enough footage in here to at least turn this into a couple of movies.
Right. And I'm excited about it. And this is really interesting. I even had a letter from the governor of South Dakota about my performance in the Black Hills. And also Senator John Thune, who's, you probably heard his name quite a bit lately up in Washington, but I even got a letter from him back in the day. And that's pretty, and also been inducted in the Hall of Fame of South Dakota and North Dakota and the Country Music Hall of Fame. And Legends, it's called Legends of Country Music. And so I'm really excited about all that stuff.
Yeah, no, you've got the credentials, you've got the career, you've got the personal history, everything that makes this this project that's really a multimedia project something worth paying attention to, and definitely is going to help, again, set the record straight about the historical accuracy of what actually happened in Wild Bill's life. And it gets to feature a lot of your various talents, which is super exciting.
You're too nice. Yeah, I just do it from the heart, you know. And I also would like to mention one more thing, another music video that's got a lot of reviews. I recorded in Nashville and we shot the video in the Black Hills. It's called Pack of Wolves. And I encourage everybody, it's just American, it's American song for everybody. And I think it says a few good things in there. So I think if you're a patriot of our great country, check that out.
Yeah, Pack of Wolves. You can find that on YouTube by Jerry Allen. It's a song that is patriotic. It also expresses some of the frustration of the last several years that have been challenging. So it's a fun song, though.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, we will definitely do this again, touch base on the project. We will definitely make announcements and do a launch for the movie's debut, as well as the book's debut and the album. So we will keep everybody in tune, and we will see you later, Dad. Thanks for your time.
Well, thank you, and God bless everybody out there, and I appreciate you tuning in.
Absolutely. Until next time, this is Dead Man's Hand Podcast.
If you enjoyed this podcast, help us keep the Old West alive by signing up for our newsletter about Dead Man's Hand, a Wild Bill multimedia project that my dad, my brother, and I are all currently working on. Besides this podcast, in the newsletter you will learn about the progress of the docudrama series that my dad has been working on for the past 10 years. In the newsletter, you'll also learn about a series of books my dad and I are currently working on that dramatizes Hickok's adventures in an exciting and dramatic way. Besides all of this, you'll also receive access to newly edited clips from the docudrama series, long before the episodes actually premiere. And most importantly, don't forget, the West lives on. As long as you have hope, courage, and a restless hunger for adventure. Thanks for listening.